All right, so the only handout you have tonight is the homework for our next meeting, because we're using the same handout from last time, where we're just going over the 8 questions. And so before we jump any further, though, I want to pray. Somebody want to pray for us? Go ahead, Glenn. Amen. I'm going to turn that. Alrighty, so tonight's going to be more of a conversation like the last time when we got together. And just to do a quick review, last time we talked about, in your handout I gave you the 3 trees diagram that just shared or talked about or showed an illustration really of where these 8 questions came from that we were using as we go through Philippians and study Philippians. And then we talked about the first 4 questions and applied them to Philippians. You were to go through and answer the first 4 questions, and I'm going to review some of the things that you said so they're kind of put what we're talking about tonight in context. And so remember the first 4 questions. The first one is kind of what's going on, what's the circumstance, what's the heat, so to speak. The second question is how am I or how are they responding to the circumstance? How would you be tempted to respond? We did that. So I'm just reviewing the questions from last time, and then the question of what's ruling the heart in those responses, and then what might be some of the consequences to those responses. And so here's taking those 4 questions. Here's some things that you guys came back with. And we'll go through this rather quickly. So but Paul's situation, we said what's going on around Paul. And you said he's in prison. He's experiencing suffering, that the Philippians are experiencing some sort of suffering. There's disunity in the body. There's the experience of opposition. There's rivalry, conceit. His friend is ill almost to the point of death. People are preaching with wrong motives. Let's see, what else? Some of the positive things, that the gospel is being advanced. Boldness for others to share the gospel. And so those are the things that are going on, the suffering and the hard things and the good things. And then the question 2 is think about typical reactions to such circumstances. We try to put ourselves in the shoes of the Philippian believers. And do you guys remember what some of the responses were to things like being in prison and suffering and disunity? You remember some of the responses? Thoughts? What were some of the responses that you guys shared that people would be tempted if you were in prison or if you were suffering or someone was opposing you? What were some of the responses that we listed as being typical? Said what? Doubt? Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Questioning God. Complaining. Grumbling. You know, and Paul specifically talks about that. Being fearful and anxious. I mean, imagine if you're awaiting a death sentence. You know, you're in prison, possibly awaiting a death sentence, being fearful, anxious, self-absorbed, self-pity. Those are all things that came out of your homework assignment the last time. Don't sense a need for God. The response to the good things is we can be carefree or careless or self-sufficient, boastful, confident in the flesh. And then the third question was, okay, what are some of the cravings or wrong beliefs that tend to rule the human heart, producing ungodly reactions? And so we listed, you guys listed some: selfish interest, fear of man, you know, selfish gain, seeing ourselves as most significant or more superior than other people, pride, greed, mindset on earthly things, not trusting God. We don't fear God. We fear circumstances. And so all those things are going on in our heart that leads to the responses that we have. And then the last question, what are the consequences of those instinctful, sinful reactions? And here's what you guys said. Broken relationships. Gospel is not advanced. Your testimony in Christ is weakened. Increased self-focus. Disunity, destruction, sorrow. And so those are all consequences we might experience based on our responses, our negative responses to those hard situations. So any thoughts or questions about that's the context of that's the bad news. Bad situation, hard situation. This is how we're tempted to respond or do respond. This is why. This is what's ruling our heart. And here's some of the consequences of our choices. Does that make sense? Everybody tracking? Good. Okay, so your homework assignment was then to read back through Philippians again for the third time or fourth time. And then to start looking at who God is. Because remember we said in counseling, whether it's our own hearts or whether we're trying to help someone else and counsel others, what do we want to do? We want to bring God into the picture. That we want to help people to see their story in the bigger story of God's redemption. And because what's going on in our hearts in so many of these cases when hard things come is we're believing lies about who God is. We don't consciously think that, but we think things, maybe we do consciously, but sometimes unconsciously, maybe we think things like, well, God's not good. He's not going to take care of me. He can't do anything about this situation. If he could, he would have already done it by now. And so maybe he's not really all powerful. And so you hear the voice of the lies and that we're tempted to listen to that ultimately come from the father of lies, Satan. And our job as counselors is to bring the voice of truth. To this is the voice of the Redeemer. Who does God say he is to the Philippians? And so you guys were supposed to read it and then answer the question. The first question was, what specifically does God reveal of himself in Philippians? Who is he? What is he like? What does he promise? How does he work? What has he done? And then, you know, what do you see him doing? What will he do? And so I want to hear your thoughts on who God is in Philippians. How has he revealed his character and the things that he does? What are your thoughts on that? Yeah. In the whole book of Philippians, what are some things that stood out as, wow, this is who God is. This is what he says. Yep, get your Bibles out and just do a quick perusal through the scripture, through the passage, and just share some things that you see him saying about God. Good. Yeah. Yeah. And so when you hear a scripture like that, you know, it's easy just to read right past because that's a familiar passage. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Familiar passage, right? But our goal in reading scripture is to think about what we're reading. And our goal in counseling others is to do you hear what that scripture's saying? That God began a good work in you. And he's going to be faithful to bring it to completion. And that's when you really think about what he's saying there. Whatever he started in our lives that's good and saving us, he's going to continue to work throughout all of our lives. And one day it's going to be completed. Could that be helpful for somebody who's struggling with, God, where's God in my life? I just don't seem like I can change. I don't. Good. What else? What other things do we see about God in Philippians? Yep. Christ is humble. Good. What did he do? How did he demonstrate that? How did he demonstrate his humility? Yep. On the cross. Was he considering himself most significant or others? Yeah. So laid down his rights, as we talked about last Sunday. And why did he do that? Why did he lay down his rights and go to the cross? So that we could be saved. Yeah. Good. And that's the way you want to read Scripture. You want to ask those kinds of questions. When you run across a passage like that, whether it's for your own heart or you're helping somebody else, is ask those why questions. Remember, we talked about that earlier on in the class. That why did Jesus do that? Well, it goes to reveal the magnitude of his love for us. I mean, who would do such a thing? And why would he do such a thing? If he was, and you just begin to flesh those things out, that, wow, if he was willing to go to the cross when I was his enemy, do you think that in this situation that you're struggling with now at this moment, that he might be willing to help you right now? What do you think? Yeah, he's proven it. He's demonstrated it in the cross. So he's humble. He demonstrated it by dying on the cross for us so that we can have a relationship with him. What else do we see about God in Philippians? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Good. Yep, his provision. Is there a specific passage that you saw that in? It's fine. Mm-hmm. That's,
I think that he loves us.
Good. Yep. That passage that you listed, Suzanne, in Philippians 2, you know, God works in us to will and to act or to work according to his pleasure or his purposes. Now, what somebody who is wondering, where's God in my situation? Where does this passage say he's where he is? He's working in you. Your life is lived out in the presence of God, and he's at work accomplishing his purposes in your life. And as Seth said, his provision.
What did, in 12?
4:12? Yep. What's it say? Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, so Paul's in prison. And what are the Philippians doing? Why is one of the reasons? What's one of the reasons Paul's writing to the Philippians? Remember, what's he? He's thanking them for this gift that they're sending him, and so Paul's rejoicing in that, and he sees that that's the hand of God work, that their partnership in the gospel is God working through them for his provision and for his good. Good. And so somebody who, one of your homework assignments is, somebody that's lost a job is thinking about that and just being able to demonstrate in Philippians, look at how even when Paul was sitting in prison, God met his need through a church that sent a gift to him. Good. What else? Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the second that God cares about our problems.
Yeah.
Where I would get that would be chapter 2, verse 8. So, you know, not only did he die on the cross, but he
Yeah. Good. So somebody is wondering, or just that feeling of God doesn't care, He doesn't understand, He doesn't know what it's like to go through what I'm going through. Boy, if you can take them to the humanity of Christ in that path that He, in human form, as Kendall said, died. He understands. He's been there. He's been wrongly accused. He's been beaten. He's been spit on. He's been rejected by His own disciples, all as a human being. And so whatever you're going through, whatever the person's going through that you're trying to talk with, just helping them to see Jesus can identify with you. He knows exactly where you're at. And then going back to what Sharon and Jeremy were saying, and He's near in your circumstance, in your situation. Philippians 4 tells us that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Think about what that means in whatever situation or struggle you're in. The Lord is at hand. And He goes on. So in light of that, present your request with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart. What are we doing? We're just pointing. We're not saying, I want to try to keep this in context. Somebody's struggling with fear. We don't just say, don't worry, be happy. Or quote a couple of scriptures on fear. You know, fear not. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and self-power and self-control. What are we doing? Instead of just giving Him scripture saying, do not fear, we're taking Him to scripture and saying, this is who God is. We're trying to bring God into their world and helping them to see that really they're living in His universe and His world. God is not absent. He's not far away. These passages tell us who He is, that He's near, He's present. And that's what when we do that, when we take people to God's word and point them to what God says about Himself, that's when faith begins to arise in the heart. Not because we say, don't fear, just go out of here, stop worrying. Don't you know it's sinful to worry? Just stop and trust God. Well, we got to give them something to trust. We got to give them someone to trust. And we do that by exactly what you're doing tonight. And this is who God is in Philippians. Any other thoughts on who God is? Yep. Can you read 3:21? Good. That's a great passage. All things. Your health problem, your finances, all things are subject to Him. Every power, every boss, you know, every disease, all things are subject to Him. It's good. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I think that how that's applicable, like we mentioned, if God wasn't that who He says He is, then, you know, we'd have reason to act like we act all the time.
Right.
But we don't have reason.
Right. Good. Good. Yep. Very good. Well, in those. All right. So we're going to scripture. We're seeing who God is. And when faith arises in our hearts, then it enables us to do what? It enables us to turn in faith and repentance and trust this God that says all these wonderful things about Himself, because they're true and He's true. And when somebody comes to that place of they're turning, they're trusting God. What kinds of things are going on in their heart? What's ruling their hearts in those moments then when they're able to have faith and when they're able to maybe experience freedom from fear in a situation and instead have peace in their hearts. What kinds of things are going on in their hearts then? God, good. Let's phrase it this way. This will be helpful. I'm sorry if that was a confusing question. What rules Paul's heart? Good. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yep. Right. Yep. Yep. For Paul, Christ was everything. And when Christ is everything, the things that we get anxious about, death, sickness, money, when Christ is everything, then the things that we tend to be obsessed over or about, they don't have that power over us any longer to make us anxious and fearful. And because instead of those things ruling our heart, Christ is ruling our heart. And yeah, they just don't matter when Christ is at the center. Good. What other thoughts? What about Paul's perspective on life, the big picture perspective versus my little world often? What other things are ruling Paul's heart? Yeah. Yeah. Good. Well, he has this forward-looking faith. And sometimes, you know, when I think of situations where there is ongoing long-term health issues, I think this is particularly helpful. Because we don't know, you know, we pray for healing in this world. We don't know that person's. We want to believe and trust God that He will heal them, but some people aren't healed, right? And some people continue to suffer. And boy, if you can bring them to God in that perspective of the big picture perspective, that even though the suffering is hard and we never want to minimize suffering that people are going through on this earth, there's a day coming where God says He's going to put all that away. And we want to help people to have that forward looking faith. And Philippians is a wonderful book or letter to do that, because he does it a lot. In Philippians.
There's a verse something that helps out the situation and the worry or whatever.
Yeah.
And whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems to be the approach that he takes.
Yeah. 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 Good.
And not to be like, well, you know, at least you have your health.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to not minimize the good just for the sake of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good.
Even when the situation is absolutely hopeless, you are in a prison cell or in death.
Yeah.
You do know the goodness of God.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Paul says, hey, if I die, that's gain because I get to be with Christ. And so even in that. And that verse that he's sharing from verse 8 of chapter 4, it gets to the heart of, you know, it says think on these things, but that's language that's speaking to what's ruling our hearts. Are the circumstances, the bad circumstances ruling our hearts? Or are the things that we're thinking on? You know, are we when we think on those things, then gratitude is ruling our hearts, or gratefulness. Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I guess you really have to experience just how bad the bad situations are to be able to say that whatever is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Yep. 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 Good. Yep. It's true. Yeah, and in that is faith, right? That what does faith, or how does faith make the whole world look different? I mean, it goes back to, yeah, it brings hope in situations that might seem and feel hopelessness. Faith, remember what we said earlier in the class, coupled with truth. That this is who God is, and this is what He says He does, and how He loves us and how He cares for us. You put those things together and it leads to real change, where a person who before might have been fearful and anxious, now they have a heart that's at peace and trusting God. That's real, tangible change, being conformed into the image of Christ. Let's see here. Scrolling down. So, I gave you a whole bunch of scriptures in your handout from the last time that really to try to explore or discover these. I don't have my handout with me. The things that are ruling the heart. I was going to read through some of those. Can I borrow somebody's notes from Jonathan? Can I borrow? No, it's not on the email I sent. Yeah, I listed out, if you want to flip back to, I was trying to find out where it was, the last thing I handed you, under question number 6, what rules the heart in godly responders? If you've got your notebook there, and then flip over to this page where it has all those from compulsive self-interest, from confidence in ourselves, yada, yada, yada. But then there's all these scriptures that are listed out there. That's helpful to do as you're going through a book of the Bible and you're studying and you're looking for specific, who is God? What is God saying this? To jot those scriptures down. And then that way you can come back to them again and again, whether it's for your own heart or whether you're trying to help somebody else. But We've already mentioned some of these. So Philippians 1:6, I'm sure this, that he who began a good work will bring it to completion. Paul, let's see. Well, never mind. That's not what I thought. That was a verse, the passages that really spoke to the motives. No, we already did that last time. I was looking for the bad motives. This is the good stuff. Where in Philippians here in these verses, he's talking about what leads people to change. What, you know, from compulsive self-interest to loving others, from self or confidence in ourselves to confidence in God. what we want to do in counseling, Larry, here's your book, is pay attention to those things when you're reading the scriptures, when you're reading Philippians or any book of the Bible. Pay attention to those things that focus on this is who God is, and this is how it helps us to grow in faith and to change. The next question, I'm scrolling down here. Look for specific good fruit. All right, if somebody is doing the things that we just talked about, they're trusting that God's at work, He's near, He's going to complete the good work that He began, He's my provider. What else did you guys say? He cares, He loves me. If someone is believing those things about God, then what are some of the good fruit then that comes as a result? What are some things you guys think? Yep. Joy. Peace. Yep. Other thoughts? Now, those are easy words. It's easy to say joy, peace. But if somebody is in a desperate situation and they can really experience peace, that's huge. You guys, you know, I know some of you are younger, don't have a lot of life experience yet, but 17 years, 18 years worth, 19 years worth. But you guys have experienced things as well where your heart's in turmoil, right? Maybe it's decisions about your future. Maybe it's decisions about jobs, relationships. And certainly those of us that have been around quite a bit longer than you guys know what it is to have our hearts be in turmoil over our kids, over finances, over parents getting sick, husbands and wives getting sick, death, loss of a loved one. Our hearts, it's real pain, it's real suffering, it's real turmoil. And just the intensity of that those feelings. Now imagine experiencing that same intensity and sense of just peace and rest for your future, rest in your heart, you know, for finances and provision, and only God can bring that. We can't fix people by just throwing out platitudes and saying it's going to be okay, you know. Everything will work out in the end. Those are true statements. But again, how much better to say, see who God was to the Philippians, see who God is to you. And then, again, that peace, the peace of God, guarding our hearts. That's real. And it's hopeful, as we've already said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Okay. Yeah. That'd be nice. Yeah. Said he carries the weight of the churches, you know, on his shoulders, thinking about all these converts and these new churches that he planted. I can't hardly care for one church. I can't imagine Paul, and he's worried about the early church getting off the ground and people coming in and preaching false gospels, people coming in preaching with false motives. And so that's a good point, Seth, not only a physical but just the mental anguish as well that Paul was experiencing. Yeah. People he cares about. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Exactly. Yeah. 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 Hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Good. So some of the fruit we've said: real peace in difficult circumstances, situations, joy. How about perseverance? You know, just continuing to be faithful to the Lord. Persevering obedience. Paul's writing and he's encouraging the Philippians. Hey, as you have obeyed in my absence, so or in my presence, now also in my absence, continue to obey. And they can, because God's Spirit lives in them. God is faithful. He's working in them. And so there's perseverance, a persevering obedience as part of the fruit of really trusting God and seeing Him for who He is. So all those are types of fruit, good fruit in our lives when we are turning to God and recognizing Him. Any other thoughts on that? Yeah. 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 Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. And so the last question then comes, okay, now, what? So that's the good fruit. Now, what are the effects? What are the good effects that responding in those ways or experiencing peace and joy in your heart? What are some of the good effects that has on your life and on those around you? Yeah. Good. People experience your witness helps someone else in their struggle. That's a good effect of seeing that fruit in your life. Good. What else? God is obviously glorified. That's a good effect. For Paul, the gospel was advanced. That's a good effect. What about for us? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he says, I've received full payment before. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts of sent, which are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable to his God. That says something about God, that what he likes to see is people supply materials for others.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sacrifice he desires, and this goes back to the Old Testament.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I want you to give.
Yeah.
People
need. Yeah.
And that says something about the character of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. If that's who God is, and we see that demonstrated in the way somebody's giving to someone who's in need, or, you know, obviously the good effect is that God is glorified in that, but there's also that sense of, we get a picture, we get a glimpse of that's the character and nature of God. And if he's doing that in that situation, then I can trust him in this one as well. So that's
the God I'm going to worship.
Yeah.
To how he wants to be worshipped.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the church is strengthened as a result.
And it makes you want to, like, if you've been led well, if you've seen someone else's example, maybe you're going to serve you well, it makes you want to see them. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, they obviously want to see God, but they want to see
Paul. Right, yeah.
And so it just has so many things in the
heart. Yeah. And you can see, and that's where the diagram talks about those gracious cycles, that boy, when you give to someone or you encourage someone and they're encouraged, and then it makes them want to go encourage somebody else, and it just builds, and that's a picture of the body of Christ growing and maturing and being strengthened in the Lord. And that's awesome, because again, bringing it back down to a personal level, when we're a part of a fellowship like that, when you're a part of a community like that, then what it does is it helps each of us as individuals to experience God's grace and hope and to want to worship, as Kendall said, and just all those things that glorify and honor Christ. All those things, good effects from just bad situation, turning and seeing who God is and what he says, putting my faith and trust in who he is and what he says, experiencing the fruit of peace and joy in my life, and then I'm able to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody else. That's the Christian life. That's how we live out Philippians chapter 2. You know, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. When he's talking about counting others more significant than ourselves. We can't just drum that up and make that happen in our hearts just out of sheer willpower. No, it's only as our heart has been affected and transformed by his power and his love, then that we're able to be that way with other people, considering their interests above my own, loving them above myself, being willing to be self-sacrificing. Any other thoughts? We're going to go over the homework before we dismiss. Heading out. See you, buddy. All right, pull out your homework page. Now here's my goal. The next class, which is our last class, then is to take these eight questions in Philippians and pick one of these scenarios. And we'll just, there are three different ones. The first one is it's an illness, a knot in the lymph nodes in the neck. You can read it. I'm not going to read it, but the person has expressed intense worry and panic to you as they're waiting the report from the biopsy that's been done on this tissue from this knot in their lymph nodes, okay? Lymph node. It's part of your body that, like your immune system, and yeah, you can get cancer in your lymph nodes. And so this person is worried, do I have cancer? Okay, that's the gist of the first one. And what you want to do is take Philippians and think about what, okay, how might this person be tempted to think, to fear, whatever the case may be. And then who is God and how can you help, you know, what scriptures come to mind that you could point them to demonstrate who God is. Just kind of just write again. That's a half page response of because we're going to talk about these together, these three scenarios next time we meet. And so come prepared with specific scriptures that, hey, I think this would be helpful to point this person to. This is who God is in their situation, so that the purpose of this is to put feet on what we've been doing. You know, we've been talking a lot about a lot of different things, and but now let's apply it in real life situations and scenarios. Second one, somebody's lost their job. There seems to be little, or they've revealed to you that they're beginning to question God's provision and care for them. Seems to be anger mixed in as they wonder why God has allowed this and why he hasn't given them a job yet. So same thing. What would be the temptations for somebody in that situation? And temptations of ways they might think. And then who is God? What does he say? And then the last one, the married couple having lots of relational conflicts revolving around finances. They're just harsh in the way they talk to one another, in the way they deal with one another, the way they think. And so how would you help that couple? Okay, so just pick one. And hopefully we'll have all three. We won't all pick the same one. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about all three of them. And then use the eight questions and just walk through that scenario with the eight questions in Philippians and write a short response. But please try to include some scripture references so we can look at those when we get together next week. Is that clear? Okay. Any other questions? Thank you guys again we wouldn't be able to have this kind of dialogue and discussion if you guys weren't reading and doing the work of trying to dig things out of Scripture. And as I said at the beginning, my goal, if we learn as a result of this time together, just to be better students of God's Word and really slowing down and thinking about what we're reading, then this class will be a success. So, okay. Jeremy, would you pray for us? Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. Thank you for Mr. Vaughn, that he's just so willing to teach this class, God, and he does a good job. And we're very thankful for him. And thank you for your word, God.
Yes.
Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. One other thought, just with the homework, if you want to make it personal, and maybe there's something that you want to try this eight question approach with Philippians that's going on in your life right now, feel free to do that. Don't feel like you have to stick to these three. If there's a situation that'd be helpful for you or someone you know and you'd rather do it on that. But be willing to, as long as you're willing to come and share that, I think that'd be good. So feel free to do that. Okay? Thank you, guys. We're done.